All right. I tell you, if you want to follow along, I'm going to read in John chapter 5, but I'm just going to kind of read there and then wander off in a lot of other places. But I am going to read from John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Now, I like that scripture. I do. Now, my title this morning is called this, The Key to the Scripture. The Bible is made up of 66 books, all with the same message. Yeah. All with the same message. And the message is this, Christ is all. Mm-hmm. Christ is all. Without him, without Jesus Christ, we have nothing. Right. Absolutely nothing. But in Jesus Christ, we have all things. Amen. Because in him is all things. But I believe I can give you a key to the scriptures, and this is what I want to preach today. And I want you to put this forward in your thinking if you can. And I want to put it forward in my thinking. Because this is a truth of all scripture, a truth of all life. And if you can read the scripture with this key in mind, I believe it'll do you a world of good. And here's the key that I want to talk to today. God is sovereign in all things. Yes. Amen. All things. Now to start with, I'm going to try and get moving here because there's a lot of stuff here. To start with, I want to start in a what some people might consider a strange scripture. A strange scripture to talk about the sovereignty of God. It's a well-known scripture, but it's not usually used to speak of the sovereign Lord by most people. But if you think about it, most people aren't speaking about a sovereign God anyway. So, but anyhow. But I think it shows a wonderful part of the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, unknown to the religious world. It's Exodus 33 and 19. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. And I've read it before and I'll read it again. And he said, this is God speaking, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Oh, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's so much in that verse. But right now I just want to tell you one little thing. God is sovereign. Yeah. In grace and mercy. In grace and mercy. It's God's will that matters. And not yours. Yeah. And not yours. And not mine. It's God's will that matters. And that comes about very, very quickly in the scriptures. This is the third time in the Bible the word gracious is used. And here it is. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll have mercy on whom I will have her mercy. And these are the words of the Lord. And guess what? He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Oh my. I will be gracious to whom I will. I will show mercy to whom I will. Moses wrote these words down, but God spoke them. God spoke them. And here it is. These Israelites had been brought out of Egypt by his mighty hand. And yet, think about it, folks. And yet, there had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years that weren't delivered. They weren't delivered. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And he brought them out with a mighty hand, but he didn't bring them out 300 years ago before this. 200 years. No. In the fullness of his time, God works his will. And that shows his sovereignty, his truth. You have to think about these things, I believe. God was able to do it. God could have kept them from going into slavery. But he didn't. He didn't. Oh my. The deliverance of the Lord is his sovereign power, and it comes only by his holy, powerful will. He'll be gracious to whom he'll be gracious. He'll be gracious when he will be gracious. He will show mercy when he will show mercy, and to whom he will. Now, most of this I want to spend in the Old Testament. And I got four words for you to show forth the sovereignty of God. Four words. I am the Lord. You know how many times that phrase is used in the Old Testament? Well, according to my computer, it's 163 times. That exact phrase is used. Not anymore just the I am or anything, just I am the Lord. It's used 163 times in the Old Testament. Isaiah 44 and 24 says this, thus saith the Lord. Here's the good part. Thy Redeemer. Yeah. Yeah. Thy Redeemer. The Lord is the Redeemer. Yeah. That's Jesus Christ, folks. I'm sorry. All right, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. What? That maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth about the abroad the earth by itself. Jeremiah 24 and verse 7. I'm just going to give you some of the highlights, folks. There's a whole lot more. And I love this part, and I will give them a heart to know me. What? That I am the Lord. Oh, my. Oh, and they shall be my people. And even better, and I will be their God. Four. They shall return unto me with their whole heart. What heart? The one he just gave them. The one he just gave them. Because I'm going to tell you something. You'll never turn to the Lord until he gives you a heart to know him. Oh, I like that. I do. That's good stuff. The Lord gives a new heart. What? To whom he will. Oh, I like that too. And they shall. No doubt there. They shall be my people. Oh, you understand the Lord is sovereign in giving new hearts. Yes, he is. Oh, giving new hearts to know him and to love him. He's sovereign. Oh, I like that. Oh, my. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever get it, you want to look at something. This phrase, I am the Lord, in the book of Ezekiel is spoken about 68 times. I think I counted right. But it's 68 times, 60 sometimes anyway. And I'm going to give you a couple of them here that are good. Ezekiel 37 verse 6, and he said, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. Oh, and ye shall live. Ye shall live. And not even that, that's not enough. There's one more thing you gotta know. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Verse 13 of Ezekiel 37, he says, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. You mean people are in the grave before the Lord raises them? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the day's coming now is, the hour's coming now is, when they're going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, only after that, shall live. Amen. Oh. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Now, those are a couple of the nice ones in Ezekiel. Now, there's a lot more in Ezekiel that you might not consider so nice. And I got a few of them here for you because I want you to hear this. Understand, God is sovereign in all things. Ezekiel 12 and 15 says this, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That part's good. When I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in countries. There comes a time when God will scatter somebody. Sovereignly. Sovereignly. And disperse them in the countries. Verse 16. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence. Now he sent the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. But I'll leave a few of them from it, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Oh. Ezekiel 39:28. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. Among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. I sent them out. I bring them back. Who's in charge here? Oh my. You understand? For us, that may not seem to be a nice thing. Israel being taken away captive. Happened more than once. And you know what? God always brought them back. He always brought them back. In his good time. According to his will. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. And I'll do it when I want to. Yeah. Oh my. Hosea 13 and verse 4 says this. Yet I am the Lord, thy God, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Wait a minute. The Lord is not only the Redeemer, he's the Savior. Amen. Yeah. The Lord is the Savior. I am the Lord. Oh, oh my. What does it say? And one of my favorites, Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord. For I am the Lord. I change not. Not. Therefore, because I don't change, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Yeah. If God be for you, who can be against you? And if God be for you, he's always for you. I change not. We change our minds all the time. We are malleable, susceptible to influence people. You understand? Excuse me. Our circumstances can make us a lot grumpier than we'd really like to be. God doesn't change. No matter the circumstance. You know why? Because it's his circumstance. If you're there, he put you there. learn the lesson or repeat it. You understand? I had a poster up for a while at work. It said, learn from the mistakes of others. You don't have time to make them all yourself. That's why we have this book, for example. But God will teach you exactly what He wants to teach you.
Yeah.
Now, your hard-headedness, now I'm not calling you all, well, yes I am, you're all hard-headed, just like me. We're all hard-headed. We're all, sometimes, I'm going to tell you something, my wife can tell me something in three words that I couldn't understand in 200. Or something that I just saw, and I didn't know I saw it until she explained it to me. That's the way we are. That's the way we are. But God will teach you what He wants to teach you, and He'll make sure you learn. Because afterwards, chastisement yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Yeah.
There's a purpose to God's chastisement.
Right.
There's a purpose to God's circumstances. And we may not see it at the time, but later on, He'll show it to you. He'll show it to you. And you'll see that's why that happened. Oh, doesn't make it pleasant. It may be grievous.
Sure.
But it's still good. It's still good. It's still God's will. What does it say? The sovereign Lord does all these things and more. And more. My two favorite ones. Psalms 115 and verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased.
Yeah.
Couldn't leave that out. And the other one. Psalms 135 and verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He.
Amen.
Where? In heaven. In earth. In the seas. And all deep places.
Yeah.
Understand? That's everywhere. God does what He wants. God does what He's pleased. Even speaking of the Messiah in Isaiah. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. To bruise Him. He, the Lord, hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. But before any of that had to happen, the Lord had to bruise Him. The Lord had to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Oh my. Now that's all in the Old Testament. Well, everybody knows that Old Testament God was really mean. There's no difference.
Amen.
God hadn't changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The message hasn't changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we get the name of the Lord. I am the Lord. What? Thy Redeemer. I am the Lord, the Savior. A just God and the Savior. Oh my, and we get His name. John 1 tells us Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was made by the Word. Was made by Jesus Christ. Oh, that Word that was with God and that Word was God. He made all things and even tells us now in the epistles, by Him now, right now, all things consist. All things consist. Oh, I like that. Peter preached at Pentecost and he said these glorious words. This is Acts 2:22 and 23 and 24. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, Jesus of Nazareth, approved of God, Him, what? Being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. But it doesn't stop there. Whom God hath raised up.
Yeah.
Oh. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. What's that all about? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was delivered by God's determined counsel, and they crucified him with wicked hands.
Yes.
Oh my. And it is true. Here it is. They meant it for evil, and God meant it for good.
Right.
It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was delivered. God meant it for good. He was crucified. God meant it for good. And he raised him from the dead. And God meant that for good too. Oh, I like that. I do. I wish I could preach all of the good that came forth from the sacrifice and offering of Jesus Christ, but I can't. I wish I could. I'm not capable. But I do know this. I can give you this right quick. Part of the sovereignty of God is in the three R's. Well, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Redemption and reconciliation. Righteousness. I'm going to tell you something. Those are three glorious R's. Redemption, reconciliation, and righteousness. Christ redeemed us on the cross. His blood was shed for his people. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. For his sheep. Oh. The perfection of Christ's substitutionary sacrifice on the cross cannot be overstated. He purchased us with his own precious blood. He perfected us before God with that same offering. Oh, I like that. By one offering, he's sanctified, and by that very same offering, he's perfected forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Oh, I like that. All that he sanctified. All that he sanctified, he perfected. All that he perfected, he sanctified. With that one offering. The redemption he purchased us with was his own precious blood shed for us. And Christ's redemption is called both plenteous and eternal.
Yeah.
Obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
Oh, I like that. The second R, Christ's reconciliation. For if when we were enemies, not friends, not acquaintances, enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son.
Amen.
Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Yes.
Oh my. I'm gonna tell you something. It ain't what you do with his sacrifice. It's what his sacrifice has done for you.
Right.
You understand? When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We were just too dead to know it. Oh, but when he gives you that heart, that you'll know he is the Lord, that you will know I am the Lord, oh, you're going to understand you've been reconciled by what he did, by what Christ did. Oh, God meant the death and the resurrection of Christ for good. For good. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us, to us, the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
And you, you, but that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, hath he reconciled. Past tense. It's done. I'm not getting reconciled. I am reconciled. You're not getting reconciled. You either are or you're not. That's it. And you know why? Because I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. Understand? It's in God's hands. It's not in yours. It's not in mine. I can't offer it to you. I can't give it to you. All I can do is preach it, and I hope you believe it. I want you to believe it. Because this is what the book says. He's done it. Colossians, yet now hath he reconciled. Colossians 1 and 22, in the body of his flesh through death. Through death. Why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In his sight. Christ Jesus is our reconciliation. He brings us to God in power and in holiness. His power and his holiness. And Christ's righteousness, oh, that's the third R. Christ's righteousness is our righteousness. Does that sound boastful? It's not. It's his. It's ours. But it's his. Ah, I can't take any credit for that. I can't take any credit for redemption. I can't take any credit for reconciliation. And you can't take any credit for righteousness. Oh, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. I love this. Who of God is made unto us. Christ is made unto us by God. Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh my. Philippians 3 says this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And here it is. Be found in him. In him. In him. Oh. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. His righteousness is our righteousness. Amen. I'll say that again. His righteousness is our righteousness. We don't have any righteousness other than filthy rags. You understand? But his righteousness, oh, his righteousness is perfect. You understand? You can read it in the Old Testament. I don't go. He gives us the robe of righteousness. Guess whose robe it is? It's his robe. Guess whose righteousness it is? It's his. It's his robe and it's his righteousness. And here's the thing. He clothes us. You don't go get the robe of righteousness and put it on yourself. He'll put it on you. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden. When God clothed them with coats of skin. They didn't clothe themselves. They didn't make the garments. They didn't even find the garments. He clothed them. That's what this robe of righteousness is. That story, the parable of the prodigal son. That part about the prodigal son when he came home. And the father said, get the best robe and put it on him. Put it on him. The best. The son didn't come home. The prodigal didn't come home and say, I want that robe. And put it on. No. The Father said, put it on him. Put it on him. And that's what happens here. He gives us his robe of righteousness. Oh my, I like that. Because here's the thing. He, Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our righteousness. We have righteousness, his righteousness imputed, and we have his righteousness imparted, given to us. In him, we are as righteous as God. Now that sounds boastful, but it's not, because I had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with it. We're not that good. We're not even close to that good. But we are in God's sight. We are in God's sight. Because here's the thing. God is pleased to look upon his people in Christ. In Christ. Oh, I like that. Oh, and Jesus Christ is pleased to give his robe of righteousness to every one of his people. And I want to tell you this. Jesus Christ has done what he hath pleased. He is Lord. He is Lord. You understand, God is sovereign power. God is sovereign glory. God is sovereign justice. God is sovereign grace. God is sovereign mercy. God is sovereign salvation. Jesus Christ is sovereign, what? Over the just and the unjust alike. He has been given power over all flesh to give everlasting life to as many as the Father gave to him. Oh, I like that stuff. Oh, I'm going to tell you something here. Just think about this for just a second here. John chapter 10, verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And you know where they go? They go out. If he leads them in, they'll go in. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, and goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And here's the thing. And a stranger will they not follow. But will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Then, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. What? Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Understand? Jesus Christ does what he pleases. And when he speaks to you, you're going to hear. When he gives you a heart that understands, you're going to know that I am the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. You'll hear his voice and you'll follow. And the stranger, you won't follow anymore. You might have been following the stranger before. More than likely you were. But I'm going to tell you something. Once his voice gets in your ear and in your head and in your heart, things are going to matter that never mattered before. You'll become a hair splitter. That's what they told Earl. He's just splitting hairs. No, we're talking words. You understand, when Christ speaks to his sheep, they follow him. He calls them, and I love it, he calls them by name. He knows who you are before you ever knew who he is. You know why? Because he's sovereign. In salvation. It's his salvation. It's God's salvation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's salvation. And he gives it to whom he will. And they follow. They follow. He's given himself to his people. He is our redemption, our reconciliation, and our righteousness. He's our Lord. He is the one that is just and justifier of all them that believe in Jesus. He's the just God and the Savior. So the key to the scripture, what I'm saying today, is that God, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sovereign over all things. And I'll tell you this, Father, Son, and Spirit, these three are one. Guess what? The one is sovereign. The one is sovereign. None can say unto him, what you doing? What doest thou? Because he speaks and it's done. None can stay his hand or even slow him down. Because he speaks and his word never comes back to him void. It accomplishes. Well, here's the thing. It accomplishes that for which he sent it. Now, you may not know, I may not know, what he sent it for. But he does.
He does.
Now, we are, as preachers of the gospel, as preachers of Jesus Christ, to some, we are the savor of life unto life. And to others, we're the savor of death unto death.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that? I love that verse in Acts where it says, Paul preached, and some believed the things Paul said, and some didn't. That's what happens with every message.
Right.
Some believe, some don't. The message is not to change. The message is Jesus Christ is all. And it's Jesus Christ is all the time. He's God, you're not. He's Lord, we're not. What he says goes, whether you like it or not. That's the way it is. Whether you believe it or not, trust me, he's going to have his will and his way in this world. He alone is worthy of worship and love. He has saved his people from their sin. That's what the angel said when he came. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And he did. He did. The Lord, our Lord, Jesus Christ, is sovereign. And here's the thing. Come to him. Come to him. You understand? Do you know that you are not worthy? That's a big thing. I mean, are you sick of sin and sick with sin? I know the physician. His name is Jesus Christ. The whole don't need a physician, but those that are sick do. And they want one. He's the one. He's the one. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign Lord of glory. And this is a glorious thing. He died for sinners. Yesterday, I was listening to that message from Walter. I got it from last Sunday. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. He died for ungodly sinners. A lot of people are willing to say that they're sinners, but I'm not ungodly. What, are you crazy? No, you are ungodly. Whether you know it or not, that's what the book says. We're not only ungodly, we're unrighteous. Unrighteous, that's bad. Ungodly, that's worse. He died for the ungodly. And if you know it, call upon the name of the Lord. thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. Oh my. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the key to the scriptures. The sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Believe him. Trust him. Call upon him. And if you do believe him, and if you do trust him, continue. Keep believing. Keep believing. Continue in his word. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place, Lord. Help us to lay hold of just what we can of your supreme righteousness, godliness, holiness, and power. Help us to realize just as much as we can how sovereign you really are. Help us to walk in your way, to trust in your light, in your word. Be with those who could not be with us today. Bless them, Lord. Bless their bodies. Ease their pain. Help them. And be with Paul and Walter as they come to preach your gospel. And everywhere else your gospel is preached, be with those who hear and those who speak. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.